Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this Wednesday, October 23rd. So much is going on in the Old Pueblo right now. We had homecoming last weekend, drawing big crowds into Tucson. We've got Parents Weekend coming up this weekend. So heads up for all those local restaurant visitors. You're going to have some waits and some lines for brunch on Saturday and Sunday as 10 and 12 tops fill up all of your local establishments. I had the opportunity to roll down by the University of Arizona for homecoming last week as they mercifully scheduled the game at 1 p.m. versus a 7 or 8 p.m. start, much to the happiness of pretty much every restaurant in Tucson as it spares our Saturday night. As I rolled out of our good buddy Rich Pfeiffer's Gentle Bends and we decided to hop on the modern streetcar and head down to 4th Avenue, I went up to the ticket station to pay for a ticket, and I didn't realize that the streetcar was also free, right? And as the streetcar was absolutely packed with U of A fans, many of whom would have gladly paid a dollar or $2 for this ride. In fact, nobody on this car was a single mom looking to get to work with small children. I wondered to myself, like, how is this also free? How do these decisions by local government continue to affect our daily lives? Well, in the news this weekend, the city of Tucson has decided to look into the possibility of raising parking fees, right? And that they would start to charge parking from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. downtown, where there currently is no charge. Now, why would you do that as opposed to just raising the prices a couple centavos on that app? If you think about it, who disproportionately parks from 5 to 8 p.m. downtown? These are your local restaurant and hospitality workers who often have to be there 4 or 5 days a week and now suddenly would have to pay for parking. So many of these decisions that our local government makes does not take our workers into consideration. The party that's supposed to be looking out for the workers leaves them hanging out to dry again with parking fees. And instead, we could possibly just, charge for the bus or streetcars because those services actually do cost money to provide. I'm also reminded this week of how government intersects with the food business, seeing our former president come work a shift at a McDonald's this Sunday, right? In Pennsylvania, it drew all kinds of press and all kinds of social media that Donald Trump was out there working an actual shift at McDonald's. And this comes from accusations that in some capacity, Kamala Harris had claimed that she had worked at a McDonald's. Now, both candidates are taking some ownership in working in the private sector at McDonald's in some capacity. And it's sort of an interesting thought process about why they would want to take ownership like that. Perhaps it's to say that I'm part of the common man, that I can represent you and hang with the proletariat in some capacity. But McDonald's is absolutely huge, with over 30,000 restaurants worldwide, 15,000 restaurants in the United States. One out of every 8 Americans have worked at McDonald's, they claim. They actually have a website devoted to that. You can look this up, McDonald's, 1 of 8, right, out there that you can say that. With over 333 million Americans in the last U.S. Census, that means that somewhere out there in the world, up to 41 million people have at some point in their lives worked at McDonald's. Was one of those current Vice President Kamala Harris? It seems to be not likely. While certainly it's not going to be an easy feat to go back into 1982's California McDonald's employment records, you would have thought she would have brought it up at some point. The Free Beacon has come out with a resume from Kamala Harris, right, from 1987. Where she failed to mention that employment in 1982. She's also written two memoirs, once in 2010 and once in 2017, and neither of those happens to mention her employment at McDonald's. In fact, her first mention of employment at McDonald's doesn't pop up until she has a campaign rally in 2019. Very interesting indeed that people would take a big interest in having worked at McDonald's to present themselves as part of the common folk. Now, that time that Donald Trump spent working, in parenthetical citations, at McDonald's, of course, was certainly a PR stunt, but it drew a lot of attention to that. And probably 41 million Americans are out there thinking, did in fact Kamala Harris work as well too at McDonald's? And the answer is most likely not. What I am most concerned about over here on Jump in Tucson, of course, is can Donald Trump fix the ice cream machines at McDonald's, a problem that has continuously plagued those restaurants? I'd like to make those ice cream machines great again. And so I'm waiting to hear back on that campaign for what their solutions might be. Another gunfight has popped up in politics and restaurants this week as well, too. That happens to be Pima County cracking down once again on unpermitted food vendors, right? Very recently, like on the 18th of October, so just a few days ago, Pima County released a statement that another half a dozen unpermitted food vendors have been busted coming down from potentially Phoenix in unmarked white box trucks, operating restaurants without hand washing stations, without proper cold and hot food holding, and essentially offering tacos at an incredibly low price. This is just the beginning, my listeners. Quite frankly, that with the passing of the Tamale Bill, House Bill 2042, last March 29th, becoming law on September 14th of this year, we have set ourselves up for an absolute gunfight between the Arizona Department of Health Services and the Pima County Health Department. The health department, quite frankly, may not be able to enforce its rules on all of these cottage food operators, right? There's a lot of rules out there now that suggest if your kitchen is smaller than 1,000 feet and you apply to the Arizona Department of Health Services, you might not be under the jurisdiction of the health department. This worries me because much like the COVID laws that we fought years prior, right? Are we following the science? Is food science real or is it not? Does food need to be held at over 135 degrees temperature for hot holding or 41 degrees for cold holding or does it not? And does the kitchen size of 1,000 square feet, which is the max for the cottage food industry, does that really matter? Does 1,001 square feet mean I need to keep that food cold, but 999 doesn't? In the same way, I would ask the county health department, did COVID infect more people at 10:01 p.m. versus 9:59 p.m., right? You've got to follow the science over here and be consistent amongst that. And the Arizona Department of Health Services has not come up with these standards yet to regulate the cottage food industry. They have a self-reporting page on their website where you can put your name and phone number in, but there's actually no application. And Governor Hobbs has now stated that those operators are allowed to go until the health department, the Arizona Department of Health Services, comes up with these standards. So I think we're going to end up seeing not just more foodborne illnesses out there on the streets, but we're going to see a legal gunfight between cottage food taco operators and tamale operators, regular restaurants, the Arizona Department of Health Services, and Pima County coming up. When we come back after the break, we're going to meet with a very special guest who knows a thing or two about Pima County, knows a few thing or two about the COVID lockdowns and curfew, and happened to be one of the bigger allies of the business and restaurant community. That is Pima County Supervisor District 4, Steve Christie, coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Joining me live in the KVOI studios right now is Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming to Jump in Tucson.
You bet.
You happen to be one of my favorite politicians in all of Southern Arizona. And one of the reasons, Steve, is that you came from the private sector. And there's something to be said about having to move heaven and earth to make a mortgage or a rent payment or make a payroll or deal with angry customers that gives you a humility and understanding about what it's like to work and manage a multi-billion dollar business that is Pima County as well.
Yeah, I have to say that none of my colleagues and probably nobody that's running for Pima County Supervisor at this particular point, particularly on the other side, my opponent's side, has any experience in the private sector. And that's where I came from. That's where I come from. I know the players in the business community. They're the ones with skin in the game. They're the ones that are investing in the community. They have their hard-earned monies invested and reinvested into the community. They put payrolls together. They put families together. They put food on people's tables. They give jobs and hope for the future. And they suffer the slings and arrows of the market and have to deal with it and have to react to it. Most of the people that run for office, particularly on the Board of Supervisors, are either in the quote-unquote community activism area or the NGO, not-for-profit, non-governmental organizations, or items that really don't have the precipice that you can fall off of if things don't go well, either by the decisions you make as the owner of a business or by the market conditions that you have to deal with. So yes, it does bring a perspective that I think is sorely lacking and has been lacking. I'm proud to be the representative of the business community. Their voice really has never been heard. It's only, and when it is heard, it's in a very derogatory manner. They're treated as villains. I always like to say that I know very well what my tiles in my hallway look like at the hours of 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. because I've walked over them many, many times during those hours worrying about my business. I mean, there's nothing worse than having to make payroll on Friday morning at 8 a.m. and at Thursday evening, the night before at 5 p.m., you have no money in the bank. So these are the attributes that I feel I've been able to do as well by bringing this diversity of thought and experience to the Board of Supervisors that really is lacking. And I'm proud to be from the business community. I represent the business community, and I hope that my efforts on the Board of Supervisors it reinforce the feeling that we need strong, healthy businesses in Pima County in order to have the economic development and have the future that Pima County needs and deserves. Right now, it's being bogged down with a very, I guess the only other word to say is socialistic type of programs that my colleagues want to inflict on us. And I have to say this very clearly and very, very loudly. With the makeup of the current board for the last 4 years, I've been the only one that has been standing in the way of a general sales tax being enacted by the Board of Supervisors, because it takes 5 unanimous votes to enact that. I've been the only one standing in the way of a new tax, never before done in Pima County, a general property tax, which my colleagues, quite frankly, are just slathering at the bit to try to get a hold of, to have a new revenue stream, a new revenue source, a dedicated revenue source that they can freely spend on all of their projects. I've been the only one standing in the way of preventing that. And that's why I believe it's imperative for the taxpayer, for the homeowners, for our retired folks, for our business community, that I get reelected so I can continue to stand against more taxes, higher taxes, and that we elect like-minded Republicans that are running for the other districts to help me do that.
Now, you didn't just fall off a turnip truck into a silver spoon over here, though, too. You started at the bottom of your industry as well. We talked about working at McDonald's and jockeying a deep fryer over there, but you started at the bottom of the car business as a lot attendant, too, right?
Yeah, I did. My stepfather, Ed Galloway, started a dealership in 1948 here in Tucson selling Jeeps, and then they were known as Willie's Overland. And I've felt that when I went away to college, I would come back to Tucson, and I felt that this was my calling, that I wanted to get into the car business and I wanted to take it over. And he was a very strict but fair, not only mentor and stepfather, but employer. And he insisted that I learn everything from the bottom up. And yeah, I was a lot attendant. We talk about this heat ordinance that my colleagues recently passed, dictating when workers should work. I can remember summer vacations working on at the dealership, and the sales manager would come out and he'd point to about 200 or 300 cars out on the lot that had been baking in the sun there all day. And he'd say, "We need all those moved to the other side. So you go ahead and start doing it." And you get in there with that metal and glass and rubber and the asphalt. And I know a lot about heat in Tucson, as we all do, which leads to the fact that this heat ordinance that was just passed really has so many many elements of just pure ridiculousness.
Without a doubt, there's so much over-regulation of the business community that this ends up costing us jobs, it costs us housing, it costs us affordability, and it causes all these price increases that we've been experiencing over the last 4 years here in Pima County.
Yeah, absolutely. And the issue right now is this is only, the ordinance is only applying to Pima County employees and vendors who do business with Pima County. So when it comes to Pima County employees, by enacting all of these ordinances and regulations for Pima County employees, I'm wondering, how did Pima County treat its employees when it gets hot in the past? Why all of a sudden are they realizing that they've got to do something? And then so the way the progression goes in Pima County is it starts with the employees as far as any kind of mandates or regulations. Then it progresses to vendors, i.e. people who want to do business with Pima County. They've got to comply with the heat ordinances. And eventually, it hasn't happened yet, but it's right around the corner. These heat ordinances that are mandated by the Pima County Board of Supervisors will then be enacted and cover all private businesses in Pima County, period. So you keep your eyes out. It's going to affect every business that's going to do any type of work in the heat in Pima County. And this is how it progresses from point A to the final issuance of a countywide mandate.
Without a doubt. Strong words over here from Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, the lone Republican on our Board of Supervisors representing District 4. Tell our listeners that aren't as politically engaged where District 4 is located. What are those geographic boundaries?
Well, it's obviously the most beautiful district in Pima County and has the best residents ever. It goes from the north of Summerhaven and the Catalina Mountains, and it heads south through the Tanqueverde Valley, through Vail, all the way to the Cochise County line to the east, and then continues south through Corona de Tucson, and then it goes along the east side of I-8, covers all of Green Valley and ends up at the Santa Cruz County. So it's a big district, but it's a beautiful district. And we've got a really good way we've set up our office because of the size and enormity of our district. We have people who live in the communities within our district as our representatives there with boots on the ground. They office there. We provide offices and all the backup for them to be in the community because they know the community best. They work and recreate and have businesses and schools and children all there. So they know the issues. They know the people. They know the problems. And we have my chief of staff, Beth Borazon. She is a two, three decade years of living in the Tanqueverde Valley. She handles that area, and as well as Mount Lemmon. They love her up there, and she spends a lot of time in the Summerhaven community. Then we go out to Vail, where we have Lucretia Free. She's been a community leader for some time, and she's our representative and offices and works out there. And then we go down to Green Valley, where we have Tom Bresney, who lives and works and recreates in the Green Valley area and has for years. He has an office down there. So we feel the government should come to the people, be accessible to the people, so the people don't have to come downtown Tucson or call or wait in line or find parking to discuss any kind of issue. They get it handled beautifully and locally. And we've had more than 2,700 community meetings, and we've addressed 2,900 constituent concerns since 2017, and with 1,400 meetings and 1,800 concerns during the post-PAP pandemic. So my point for those numbers are to show how effective having our office set up this way. And no other supervisor has that same kind of setup for the office being on the street. I call it democracy on the curb.
I love it. Well, that is a big task and a very big district over there as well, too. You won pretty handily in 2020, in spite of certain other Republicans not winning at that time. But you do have a race coming up this fall in just a couple of weeks as well, too. We're going to take a quick break over here in just a second, and we're going to come back and talk about Steve Christie's history, about why you would want to get into politics from being such a successful man in the private sector. We've got some somebody who was president of the New Car Dealers Association, right? Chair of the Tucson Metro Chamber, the Tucson Airport Authority, SALC, Rotary Club, Breakfast Club of Tucson, a lifetime member of the Conquistadors. When we come back, we're going to ask Steve about why. Why don't you just want to ride off into the sunset and enjoy the successes you've had in the private sector? Why are you looking out for all of us? A couple more segments coming up with Supervisor Steve Christie after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Thanks for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us here at KVOI. Every week on Jump in Tucson, you get me on Wednesdays, 9 to 10 a.m. You get Ted Maxwell from SALC. He had a great conversation with Jim Click yesterday. Tomorrow, we've got Tom Moulton coming up from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's got Mark Sankey, Director of Media and Marketing for the Mezcal Movie Set. They're going to talk all things film industry over here in Southern Arizona. And of course, bookending Monday and Friday, Dr. Ed Ackerley bringing you all kinds of wonders from the University of Arizona on Jump in Tucson. But we are joined live in studio with Pima County Supervisor from District 4, Steve Christie. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Hey, before the break, Steve, we were talking about the why. With all the successes you've had in the car business and in the private sector, all the business accolades and leadership roles, why would you even want to step into the political quagmire that is being a board of supervisor?
Well, I've always sought after leadership positions in my life because I had two very good role models of a father and stepfather who were leaders in and of themselves in many capacities. So I use them as a mentorship and as an example. So I was always predisposed to seeking leadership positions. But quite frankly, as getting into the public sector and into politics, I was asked. And I've always had a penchant for politics and government history. I attended and graduated from the American University in Washington, D.C. with a political science degree. And that was indicative of my having a real interest in politics and government. And, you know, being a car dealer, you got to be something of a politician as it is. And, you know, I get a lot of gentle chiding for having to sit there and suffer the abuses and names that I'm called by my colleagues or called to the public or just being in politics in general. And people ask me, you know, how can you take that? How can you sit there and take those horrible things they're calling you? And I said, I've been in the car business all my life, so there's nothing new that I haven't heard already. And I said, you haven't heard names being called at you until you tell a customer what their trade-in is worth out in the used car lot. So, you know, that kind of thing has been a very good attribute for me because it really doesn't bother me. And I just realize it's part of the whole environment of politics. But I was asked to be on the State Transportation Board when a vacancy came up, obviously because of my industry and my industry experience. And that gave me a seat on the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. I was on the original Citizens Advisory Committee for the RTA. So I had a long history of transportation over and above being in the car business. Then after that term expired, I was approached by the same people who approached me to serve on the transportation board to run for supervisor when my predecessor announced that he wasn't running for reelection. And this, to me, was a great opportunity to be part of the county government as far as representing certain positions. And my whole goal and my whole desire then and is still now to be a very stalwart and vocal proponent of the business community and to stand up for business interests because I remember it when I owned and operated my business, there was really nobody speaking in the political realm in either the city council or the board of supervisors or other elected entities that really was pro-business or stood up for what it takes to be in business and to stay in business, recruiting, training, retaining employees, making payroll, dealing with all the regulations that you have to deal with on a daily basis that from governmental agencies, be it either local, state, or federal. So all of these issues came to the forefront when the seat became available for me to run. And I thought, well, I could take that experience that I had running a business, and I'll find ways to apply what I went through on the Board of Supervisors, so at least to get diversity of thought and another opinion, and to be representative of a group that I feel very strongly about and that I have a deep affection for, because that's where I come from and that's what my experience is all about.
Well, you are truly, sir, the last of the Mohicans. I think you've probably heard me say that before on this radio show, but in
the city... Well, that's about the nicest thing I've been called all day.
Fair enough. But it's, quite frankly, between the city of Tucson, where there are six wards and six Democrats, a Democrat mayor, and there are five districts, right, in Pima County, and four of those five are Democrats, it's really you, like the last of conservative interest to stand up to our government over here. You had Allie Miller on your team a few years back, but now it's just you. What do you think about these other races? Are there chances for other Republicans to potentially win a seat on the Pima County Board of Supervisors this
year? Oh, absolutely. We've got just a great field running for Board of Supervisors. I'm very optimistic about their chances. I think if there ever was a time for a chance to flip the Board of Supervisors, now is the chance. It's important that people in the other districts, as well as mine, get behind the Republican candidates in all of the areas. John Backer, Steve Spain, J.L. Wittenbacher. We need that kind of integrity, that kind of experience, and that kind of belief on the Board of Supervisors. And I got to say, you know, after 4 or 8 years of being the only one, you know, I kind of get a little tired every once in a while, and it would be sure great to have that kind of support. And these folks would be just ideal for business, for economic development, for prosperity in our community to be elected to the Board of Supervisors. And I'll still maintain my position of bringing diversity of thought and representing a point of view that is sorely lacking and has been for decades on governmental agencies, and to speak for the business community. And again, to watch out for the taxpayer. I've been the only one standing in the way for tax increases, because it requires a unanimous vote to have an enactment of a countywide general sales tax. I believe that if we could get some kind of a coalition of more Republicans on the Board of Supervisors, we can nip this thing in the bud, and we wouldn't just rely on my standing in the way. I could have a whole group standing in the way, and that's what we need to keep our taxes down.
Certainly. And of course, with Robert's Rule of Order, having somebody to first and to second a motion in some capacity might bring some more conservative viewpoints. Even if you lose, you get to put people on the record and they have to vote and take some stances on some things.
Exactly. And one of the, I guess I must put it in this kind of a framework, one of the more enjoyable elements of being on the Board of Supervisors is I can sit at my chair at the board meetings and basically, you know, make a motion or two, or raise a question or two, or make a statement or two, and it just triggers my colleagues, and they go right over the moon, and then they spew forth all of their beliefs, their positions, and what they want. And I just kind of sit back and say, see, this is what we have. They said it themselves, and that's usually as a result of my triggering them.
We're already staring down the barrel, Steve, of a city of Tucson sales tax increase. It looks as if March 12th, they're going to have a special election, right? One of those elections that's created off of regular election cycles so that the uninformed or uninterested voters don't even show up and they just slip it right past the goalie. And they're looking to raise that sales tax another half cent, which would take the sales tax in the city of Tucson to 9.2%.
9.2%.
And we're 6.1% in unincorporated Pima County now. What difference would that 50% increase of tax have on the city of Tucson compared to Pima County, do you think?
I think it would be devastating. First of all, let me just take my former industry, the automobile business. The dealerships are within the city of Tucson. You put another sales tax increase on the already very high increase. And I remember when I had the dealership and when the talk of a new sales tax or a hike in a sales tax was coming, it sent shivers up and down all of our collective spines, because it could make or break a deal. Several hundred dollars, it would be the effective increase of a price, the bottom line price that consumers that would have to pay if a sales tax was enacted. And we all in the business thought, you know, we're gonna lose deals on this because they may not qualify for credit for that amount, or it's just out of their budget and they don't want to at that point make a commitment to buy the second largest investment that they make, or they're going to go outside of Pima County or the city of Tucson to buy their cars. And that would be even worse.
Of course. And we worry about this even on the hospitality industry as well, too, raising the prices across the board for consumers yet another 0.5% in a four-year period where we've had just such massive cost increases, right? Minimum wage continues to tick up in the state of Arizona tied to inflation. There are new federal overtime rules coming into place for management and exempt overtime managers that minimum wage would move to $58,000 a year. We've had a 30 to 40% cost increase in our cost of goods sold, and now we're looking at yet another tax increase in the city of Tucson, which could be incredibly devastating. And what you're saying is we might see one in Pima County, too.
Well, exactly. And don't forget, the city of Tucson makes a very aggressive effort to annex retail businesses in the county, like they have done in Vail and Corona de Tucson and other areas in my district. They gobble up the retail areas, and that makes more and more retail areas subject to their increased taxes, which really does not foretell a very positive effect on their own businesses. So, yeah, it's a very serious thing. And again, fortunately, I've been in a position where I've been able to stop increases in taxes by the mere fact, though, that it takes a unanimous vote by the board, and I'm the only one that's not going to vote for it.
Well, we got one guy standing in the way of a Pima County additional sales tax over here, and one more segment coming up on Jump in Tucson. Don't go anywhere. One more segment with Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie coming up after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. We are live in the KVOI studios with Pima County Supervisor from District 4, Steve Christie, for one final segment. Welcome back, Steve.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
No, it's been great to spend a Wednesday morning with you over here. As our local restaurant guy and aficionado over here, I'd be remiss not to ask you about some of your favorite restaurants in Pima County, perhaps even something located in District 4.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to be totally transparent. I'm very proud of my wife, Mrs. Christie, because she is a true foodie and she is a wonderful cook. And we just recently completely renovated our kitchen, and it gives us the opportunity to really enjoy her cooking, which is fabulous. And by the way, we just celebrated our 43rd anniversary. And
congratulations. That's amazing. Yeah, 43 years.
She is a native Tucsonan, and her family started the old O'Malley Lumber Company here in Tucson. So she's got deep roots as well. But when we do go out to eat, we like Le Buzz. That's a great restaurant in District 4, as well as Canyon's Crown. And we enjoy that as kind of a pub neighborhood setting, and that's great. But I think Mrs. Christie's all-time favorite is Vivace. She loves Vivace.
We're big fans of Vivace over here on Jump In Tucson. We've certainly had a lot of accolades for one of Tucson's most famous restaurateurs, and Danny Scordato over there, always bringing the goods, a very consistent product.
Yep.
Indeed. So you've got, you know, a big challenge coming up in this race over here as well, too. Your opponent comes from the Visit Tucson side of things. So she's got some name ID and a bit of Democrat government support on that side as well, too, right?
Yeah, she has garnered a kind of an all-hands-on-deck recruitment of Pima County Democrats behind her. She's rolled out a couple of iconic names as honorary chair people. She's got a very regimented and disciplined campaign. I think this is going to be the most difficult one I've had this will be my third cycle. So I'm very confident we're going to win. I think our record deserves to be looked at, and my reelection is also deserving. But nonetheless, I've got a tough race to go, and I urge people If they can, to go to SupervisorSteveChristie.com. There's a donate button and a contribute red button to please help us out with the expenses of the campaign. We're all hands on deck, too, and I'm very appreciative of the 8 years that I've had the honor of being the District 4 supervisor, but I think now more than ever it's important that our point of view, our values, our experiences, and who and what we represent as far as Pima County values and true American values needs to be represented on the Board of Supervisors. I've been doing that for 8 years now, and I feel because of that, I deserve another 4 years.
Well, as somebody that participates in the Tucson Metro Chamber, they had a candidate review committee where they put through every single candidate that was willing, of course, to show up and sit through the interview process, both Republican and Democrat, through a series of questions. You can go to the Metro Chamber's website and see those results. But Steve, you were the highest rated politician on either side of the aisle, Republican or Democrat, by the Metro Chamber. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think I was at least in the top group. For sure. But I come from the business background, which the Metro Chamber represents. I served on the board of the Metro Chamber for a number of years and as its chair. So I understand the needs of the business community. As I have been saying all along, I come from the business community. I had my own business and operated it for a number of decades. And I think if there's any kind of a commitment between what the chamber is trying to obtain as far as a foothold in bringing the business community together to deal with the issues of Pima County, I'm the best person that can represent that same feeling and philosophy. So it was a natural fit that I'm very honored that they rated me so highly. My goal is to keep that communications with the chamber open and to see what we can do together to try to stem the tide of anti-business sentiment in Pima County.
Do you think there's something that the Board of Supervisors or perhaps this new chamber potential merger with Sun Corridor could do to attract more jobs here in Pima County?
Well, first and foremost, the main reason that we've been struggling and continue to struggle is because of Pima County and City of Tucson government. And in order to make any headways in economic development, in job growth, in prosperity for our community, we need to change the government. One of the biggest hurdles that those two entities that you just mentioned deal with, site selectors or potential companies coming to Pima County or to Tucson, is the first thing they say is, yeah, we love Pima County, we love Tucson, the weather's great, it's beautiful, great lifestyle, but your government. And that is indicative of the fact that we need to change our government and the people that are running our government and to make it a goal that if you get into government now that you have to look at economic development and do away with the blue tide that is swamped Pima County, and now's the time to do it.
Jobs fix all ills, I always say over there. You want to fix the housing market? Create more jobs. We want our restaurant industry to do well. Create more jobs so that people have disposable income and choose to live in the city of Tucson or at least in unincorporated Pima County, particularly District 4 over there with our incumbent supervisor, Steve Christie. And Steve, it's great to get an opportunity to chat with you and spend a bit of our morning here on Jump in Tucson with you. I wish you a tremendous amount of luck in that campaign. One more time, your website.
Our website is SupervisorSteveChristie.com. Please visit it and donate as generously as you can. It's time for us to come together, not only as Republicans, but as the business community to try to promote more jobs, more growth, more economic stability, and to bring more people into Pima County so we can have a strong revenue base that works for infrastructure and for putting food and careers in people's homes.
Without a doubt. Great closing words over there by Supervisor Steve Criscity, incumbent for District 4. So much to unpack over here on Jump In this morning. You can see that connection between the private sector and politics and how important that really is. That experience, right, of starting at the absolute bottom of your industry. Steve as a lot attendant for Galloway Jeep, right, myself as a dishwasher 30-some-odd years ago and working our way all the way up to be here with you this morning and Jump In Tucson.
Did I tell you one last thing?
No, sir.
I love being supervisor.
Thank you, Steve. You heard it here first on Jump In Tucson. We love having you over here as well, too. Hopefully, one of you guys will be able to fix those ice cream machines at McDonald's after that break. Thanks for spending your morning with Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.